A week ago or so, we observed the first anniversary of the start of the Korean conflict. Now, according to the latest news reports, there seems to be some possibility that this conflict may soon be at an end. We all hope that it will be. The year that has passed since the start of the Korean battle has been one of crisis and decision. The striking developments of the past 12 months will sound over the world for years to come. And the coming year promises to be at least as critical as the one past has been. The international questions with which we have all been concerned have been important and dramatic ones. Side by side with these international issues march a series of economic concerns which are equally vital, if seemingly not as dramatic. And primary among the economic questions which will face us in the coming year is the question of economic controls. As a member of the Office of Price Stabilization in New York and New Jersey, I am primarily concerned with price controls. And believe me when I say that price controls are the most important and effective weapons against inflation that could be nationally disastrous if allowed to run away with itself. The battle against inflation is as important a battle as any which our troops fought in Korea or might be called upon to fight elsewhere in this wide world. To win the battle against inflation, we need your every help and assistance. Now that there is hope for a quick end to the Korean fighting, it would be easy, but fatal, for us to become complacent about inflation. We must not let this happen. In an editorial last Sunday, the New York Herald Tribune aptly summarized the situation when it said, and I quote, "No one can predict now what the situation will be in Korea when the month of July ends. But whether matters may look hopeful or gloomy there, the great threat to American security will not have been dispelled. At best, it could only be checked in Korea." Then the Tribune goes on to say, "Even the most immediate objectives of American rearmament extend 2 years into the future and are only now reaching the tempo that must be sustained during that period. The impact of inflation has not passed its peak. It has not reached it unless strong laws, fairly and rigorously enforced, can be brought into play." Now, in order that you may better understand the position of the Office of Price Stabilization on the threat of inflation, let me spend a few moments tracing the background on the current inflationary spiral. In June 1950, we were well along in a recovery from a mild business depression. This depression, caused primarily by inventory reductions, had been both brief and mild. In June 1950, economic activity had once again reached a high level. We were close to a full employment of our resources, and a period of stable prosperity seemed in prospect. Prices had risen since the first of the year, but their rise was moderate, such as normally accompanies the recovery stage of a business cycle. But prices were considerably below the all-time peak levels which they had reached in mid-1948. The business recession which started in 1948 had marked the end of 8 long years of continuous inflation, and there was a general view that prices had leveled off on a new plateau. In many ways, the first half of 1950 represented the first normal period our economy had experienced since the middle of the 1920s. Then came the communist blow in Korea. Most of us vigorously approved the action of our government in intervening in Korea, but all of us could see ahead a world in which all-out war was a daily possibility, and which at best would require the free nations of the world to become an armed camp. This revolution in our political thinking had its immediate impact in our economic behavior. As consumers, we immediately remembered the shortages and inflation which we had so recently experienced. We had better buy those new cars and refrigerators that we had been thinking we might need. As merchants and manufacturers, we recognized that business prudence suggested enlargement of our inventories. And some of us, frankly, decided that this would be a good time to put much of our assets and credits into the form of goods that were likely to become scarce. It suddenly became hard to find some of the things we wanted. Prices started shooting up. This intensified our desire to change our money and credit into goods, and this in turn sent prices up again. Within a few weeks, the president declared a state of limited national emergency and requested that Congress give him some authority over economic controls. But the president did not request the authority to establish price and wage ceilings. This authority was granted him, as a result of the insistent demands on the part of certain congressmen. An act was passed by the Congress and signed by the President on September 8th. Shortly after that date, things began to look better in Korea, and some of us began to realize that we had acted in haste. The buying wave began to subside, prices began once again to level off, and most of us hoped that direct controls would not be necessary. Then, late in November, the Chinese communists invaded Korea. Again, a wave of scarce buying was noticeable. Prices moved upward again. Demands for price and wage controls became audible. This new talk of price and wage controls added pressure to the upward movement of prices. By mid-January of this year, there was no alternative, and on January 25th, a general price freeze was issued by the Office of Price Stabilization. That, then, is the background. Right at the moment, however, things look somewhat different than they did in January. Largely as a result of the ceiling price regulations, which have been issued by the Office of Price Stabilization, prices once again seem to have leveled off. Once again, some people are showing signs of becoming complacent about the need for controls as anti-inflation measures. But then, some people have little sense of historical perspective. Just as these people lost their heads in the 6 months following June 1950, they seem to be losing their heads again. Anyone who does have a sense of perspective and looks at the history of previous inflationary periods knows that rarely does an upward movement fail to be interrupted by brief periods of stable or even declining prices. It would be tragic if we were misled by the present lull into thinking that the problem of inflation is behind us. Actually, the real source of inflation is still ahead of us. Up to this point, the government has been running a substantial surplus. For the 9 months ending March 31, 1951, the federal cash surplus was more than $7.5 billion. On the basis merely of contracts already placed and tax legislation already on the books, this $7.5 billion surplus will soon be a sizable deficit. And this without consideration of the fact that defense procurement is being accelerated. In addition to the tremendous impact of military rearmament, we are trying to superimpose on the economy a vast program of productive plant and equipment expansion. Let no one be misled. The inflationary pressures of last fall had little real basis in present fact. The inflationary pressures in front of us spring from genuine economic conditions, and our continuous hope must be that these real economic pressures will not be further aggravated by a revival of the psychological pressures which have so recently subsided. The controls which have been developed over the past 6 months will soon begin to bite, and bite hard. Ceiling prices will become not something to shoot for, but something that really exists. These irksome restraints upon business freedom will hold sway not only for a brief period. They may last at minimum for over 2 years. And then, depending on international developments, the economic situation which requires control may be with us for an indefinite period into the future. I shall not try to discuss whether there are realistic alternatives to direct price controls. I am a vigorous advocate of the maximum reliance on indirect controls. But right now we do have direct controls, and we are almost sure to need them for several years to come, and we may have to rely on them beyond that. Now, I talked a few moments ago about the hope that we all have that Korean fighting may soon be at an end. I then quoted from a recent Herald Tribune editorial, which warned us all that the true inflationary pressures which would soon affect our economy have only started. Let me reinforce this warning by a short recitation of the facts. Initially, our government appropriated $35 billion to be expended on defense rearmament. This $35 billion was supposed to have bought $35 billion worth of equipment, but it didn't. Actually, More than $7 billions of dollars of this initial appropriation have been dissipated as a direct result of price rises that were tied into the inflation about which I have been talking. This $7 billions of dollars has been lost to us at a time when we can ill afford to lose it, and its loss is irrevocable. We can't regain it by any means at all. The best that we can hope to do is to prevent similar losses in the future by fighting inflation with every weapon that is available to us. The battle against inflation is your battle. My office and other governmental agencies which have been formed to fight inflation can only carry this battle so far. In the final analysis, it is you, the people of the nation, who must win this vital fight. Our economists have estimated that every 2% rise in prices adds a total of $1 billion a year to the defense rearmament budget and to the cost of operating our government in these trying times. If you and your neighbors will pitch in now, if you will help, if you will do only your own part in this full-scale battle, you will achieve a multitude of results. You will save your government vitally needed dollars, and in so doing you will save yourself dollars. And more important than dollars, you will help save freedom throughout the world. You will ensure your children the four freedoms that you have enjoyed and that I know you want them to enjoy. Now I know that it is a fairly simple thing to tell someone else to do something, and that the doing is sometimes much harder than the telling. But in this case, the methods by which you can help are so simple that they may come to you as something of a surprise. You can help fight inflation by always keeping in mind this simple creed. Each time you go into a store, say to yourself, I will only buy what I need when I need it. I will pay only the legal ceiling prices for whatever I buy, and whatever I buy, whenever I buy, I will always buy wisely. I do not think that controls are basically in the spirit of a free American enterprise. I do think that inflation is an ominous threat to our future security. Of course, there is an alternative to inflation and controls. We could avoid this unpleasant situation in which we now find ourselves by abandoning our defense program and sacrificing the liberties of our free allies and perhaps ultimately our own to the communist aggressors. But I, for one, do not wish to follow such a path, and I am sure that those of you who are listening to me will not and could not choose such a solution. Our security has been and is being threatened every day. We have decided to arm ourselves for defense should a full-scale fight be in the offing. Let us stick to our original goal of freedom and let us all fight for it. If we here at home do our part in fighting inflation, I am sure that our armed forces will protect us on whatever battlefield they will appear.